Holy Wit!
What did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training.
All right, so we're back. Last week.
Yes.
And if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back and listen to it because we were looking at the idea that hindsight is 2020, and that was a blog post that Steph did. The last blog post on Warrior Nations talked about hindsight being 2020. And we use that term, and it's funny because we just came out of 2020, and
that was supposed to be the joke for December 31st.
Right, that's the premise of it.
Yeah.
But looking back, we did. We took a look back, and we were saying, you know, there's been a major disruption in all areas of life. And I think God, of course, God uses all things for his good. He uses all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And in that it becomes, you know, when we've seen disruption, loss of jobs, loss of buildings, loss of relationships that were maybe pseudo relationships.
Or early.
Mm-hmm. When we see all that going on, rather than looking at it and say, God, why have you allowed this? A better question becomes, God, how are you using this?
Or where's the opportunity in this?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. For every problem, there's an opportunity that arises. Or even asking the question, God, what are you up to in the midst of this?
Mm-hmm.
Or what are you saying to us through all this? You know, the spirit of fear has been running rampant on the earth. The spirit of death has been running rampant on the earth. You know, not just physical death, but the death of all things. The death of those things we held very dearly. Our religious practices, our, you know, way of doing things has gone now, and there's a death to that, and we can either make agreements with that and move into, you know, sadness and depression and everything else, or we can rise and say, okay, God, what are you doing here, and how can I join you in it? And as we talked about last week, I think a big part of that is God has scattered the quote unquote organized church,
corporate church.
He's now rebuilding his church in its true form, where it becomes living in small groups, small spiritual families or small communities, really, you know, smaller ones, in our neighborhoods, and being and living and growing within those communities. Mm-hmm. And then within those spiritual communities, reaching out to those around us who are in need, who need to experience, you know, that God is good, that God is great, and all these things we talked about last week. So if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back and listen to that first before you jump into this week. And then we said last week that this week we would be talking about, okay, so with all that becomes, you know, that we want to be able to live this way, to give 100%, you know, whatever is given, as what we call a tithe or an offering, to give 100% of that away, and to have two or three people that we're discipling while we're also being discipled. That's all we love that picture, but now I guess it becomes, how do we do that? How do we live that way? How do we pivot or change the way we've always per se lived, or the what we call normal, into a new way of living?
Well, as we talk about this, we're not speaking from a position of knowing or experiencing how it's done, because this is something that's new for us since this fall.
Right.
So it's something that we are exploring, and definitely has ignited a desire, if not a passion, to do this. So as we're talking, we too are lacking the how-to. So we're just talking about this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Brainstorming.
A bit.
Yeah.
Practicing
where we can.
Yeah.
But as far as getting people to gather together, we did try that this summer, fall.
Yeah.
When did that start? In the summer? Late summer?
Late summer, fall. Early fall, yeah.
And it, once we learned that it wasn't going to morph into a home church, we decided that this wasn't for us.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to go.
Yeah.
It wasn't how we thought it should be. Mistake made right from the beginning, after encouraging some people to do home church and left it at the encouragement and didn't talk around how that happens.
Right.
I think everything starts with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You get a couple people together who have the same desire to meet, who want and are committed to working this out. And you pray, you get together and you seek God together.
Right.
Other than that, God will put the skin on that skeleton and make those dry bones rise up.
Right. Yeah.
Because honestly, I admit I have no idea how to do it. It's a desire that I have, and I could see it in my mind. That's usually where I stop. Right.
Yeah.
I see it in my mind. I have a desire, and now I'm looking for people with the same desire that can help, that we can get together and do it together, build this thing called a home church.
Or spiritual, or yeah, home church or spiritual community. Again, you know, we can try to label it with whatever you want to label it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's certain components to it that we've seen in how Jesus lived, and like how he lived with his disciples, taught them. Like we see it with the early church that was multiplied. It was duplicated the same way. And I think there are certain things that we can take from that to start with, the very basic fundamentals. And I know you've read through Francis Chan's book. What's it called?
Letters to the Church.
Letters to the Church.
Fantastic book. Recommend it for everybody.
Yeah. You know, we will put that in the show notes, but a link to that. But we suggest that you pick that up and give it a read too, because Francis Chan left a church of.
He grew from a dozen people to over 6,000.
Right.
And when he decided to leave, other pastors who coveted a church of his size went, "Are you mad?
Yeah, you're crazy.
Why would you do that? Sell everything you have and go overseas."
Yeah.
And God met him overseas. And he's like, "Why can't the church in the West be like the church that he saw and experienced overseas?" He had no intentions of coming back to to the U.S., but God directed him back.
Yeah, God brought him back because he right to example and train up others
to change how we think and how we conduct ourselves.
Yes,
in not only church but in our lives.
Yeah, and I think I've grown up in the church, and I've seen the model of the corporate church. And the proceed just put what I call the policy and procedures that go through, and I think those have gotten in the way of how the true church is to be lived out, and to the point of, I look at it and say, what would it look like if everybody that was part of your spiritual family, your home church, whatever term you use. What would it look like if everybody worked? There wasn't a quote-unquote pastor that had a paid person to lead it. What if everybody shared that load? Because we're all called to be pastors.
Mm-hmm.
What if everybody shared the financial burdens of everybody else? Like you said, that everybody worked, everybody contributed into society as a whole through jobs and through working, and when those who were called to work, and what would look like for those who gave into that spiritual community. And that, like you said last time we talked, that whatever money's brought in, 100% of it's given out to wherever the need is, whether it's the need of a local neighbor, a need of somebody in the spiritual community, or another organization that could use it,
that has a bigger arm to reach.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it, and we talked about what does it look like if we were, to work where we live and be, and make connections with people there. What does it look like to go to the businesses in the areas that we live and build relationships with those who own those businesses and work in those businesses, and we're generous to those people, right? We tip generously. We're generous with whatever we have. We're supporting them, especially in this time. They keep saying support local, support small business. Now's our opportunity to do that, to build relationships with people, and know that they're being supported. To live that way, to build. This is this extension of, if God's generous to us, we can be generous to others. If God is, you know, pouring into us, we can pour into others. And what does it look like to live? We talked like last incarnationally, and as we were talking about that, I was thinking it's interesting because I think it's the Message version says Jesus moved into the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, that's how they term it. Yeah. And I love that term because, yeah, you know, what is it like for Jesus to move into our into the neighborhood? What is it like for us to live and, you know, quote unquote, move into our neighborhood and be connected with people? How much do you actually know your neighbors, really? What do you know about them? That's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we start, and so we're talking about this, you know, you see, we're still kind of muddling through this as well, but we believe in discipleship.
Absolutely.
That's one thing we're, mm-hmm, we're heavily focused on, even with Warrior Nations, is discipleship is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I've learned, I need to teach somebody else to
and
do the same thing.
And it's not a need. It's not necessarily a need to. I want to.
Well, yes, we want to pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, you know, I always think of the term of, and you know, we think, oh, there's so many people. Yeah, but pick two or three. Yeah,
don't get overwhelmed with the endless need out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's God's responsibility.
Yeah,
to
it's not your burden to carry. No. There's people that I know, they're like, I am so overwhelmed, I'm anxious because of all the need of all the millions of lost people out there. Well, but you can't do anything about the millions, but you can do something about the one.
Right.
Or the two.
And think about it, and if you were to disciple two people who are not yet believers.
Or are believers.
Or are new believers, disciple them. Then you would triple, if every Christian did that, we would triple the size of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Organically.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this,
and it would be a healthier church.
Right.
Body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then they would do the same. And it's like that old hair commercial.
Oh,
she told
great
two friends.
Commercial.
She told two friends, and she told
and then
two
the
friends,
screen
so
is
on
full
and so
of
on.
These
right.
Little thumbnails.
Yeah,
it
multiplies.
Yeah.
But that's how the early church did. Right. And that's, mm-hmm, the same thing now. And we've lost that in our culture.
Because we expect the quote unquote, you can't see me do air quotes,
yeah,
but I'm doing air quotes, professionals.
Right.
We expect those professionals that we call pastors,
yeah,
to do it for us. And that's an incorrect,
yeah,
way of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is an incorrect way of thinking about it. Because the what's the role of the church?
To equip the saints
who?
To do the work.
Yeah, and who are the saints?
Everybody else who has a belief in a relationship,
right,
with God.
Right. So the church should be an equipping center.
They should be.
Yeah.
And there's some equipping that goes on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not,
is.
Don't misunderstand us to say, oh, poo-poo on the church. It's not what we're saying.
No.
At all. We're saying in a day where the church is being scattered, what is our response?
Yeah. And so if our role and our responsibility is to be the equippers, then how do we equip?
Right.
How, and part of that becomes ourselves. How do we step out and try things that we're not comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus' whole ministry was about restoration. You know, when he quoted Isaiah 61, that whole passage is about restoring,
yeah,
us to God, us to relationship with God, the Trinity God. And whether Jesus was healing somebody, right? If he healed the sick, that was
casting
restoration.
Casting out the demonic.
Casting out the demons. That was restoration.
Or escaping the crowds to have alone time with his father.
Yeah, that was restoration.
Yeah.
And in that, I believe that that's our role too. That was the same thing that Jesus said that we were to do.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't changed from 2020 years ago.
Yeah.
That Jesus said to do that. And so that's our responsibility too. But that means that I'm actually going to have to step out and do some uncomfortable things. That,
mm-hmm,
I'm not, right, that moves me out of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to build relationships with people so I know where they're at. I'm going to have to speak life into people who are living in.
But now is an opportunity to be real with people.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to put pastors in terms of the leaders in churches, the heads of churches. We tend to put them on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And think that everything in their life turns up gold. That everything in their life, everything that they do prospers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it devastates us when we find out and we learn that that's not the case.
Right.
you know, pastors that fall to moral failure or whatever it is that takes them down. Or
they leave because they're just burnt out.
Right.
Because they're expected to do everything.
Right. Again, an incorrect way of
unbiblical way.
Unbiblical way.
Yeah.
Of seeing it.
Yeah.
Of seeing them as people. So when we bring it down to the scattered level, which I think is is the best level mm-hmm. of all, and we see people for who they are.
Yeah.
What would it look like? It's going to take, honestly, it's going to take for that leader, whether they're a pastor or they were a key leader in their church, it's going to take a lot for them to come down. And it's not being demoted. When I say coming down, I mean that pride that you don't know went up around mm-hmm. you during that time. It's going to take a lot to come out from underneath that. And to admit to those that you're discipling that you don't have it all together.
Right.
And for the person being discipled to see that this leader that they may have admired and thought that nothing wrong ever happens in their life, it's going to take a lot for them mm-hmm. to get their head around the fact that this person doesn't have it all together.
They're not on a pedestal.
That idol comes down.
Yeah.
And now we can relate. We can be discipled and disciple.
Yeah, and that's going to be that's the key, is to, you know, train and equip others to do the work of the ministry. So you're training and releasing on an ongoing basis.
Yep.
So like you said, you're building something up and then releasing it out.
And you're doing it as you're going along. So it's not just sitting having a conversation. That's not discipling. Here, go read this book. That alone is not discipling. That's part of it. But now after you read that book or you have this conversation, there's mm-hmm. action that follows.
Right.
So now.
Practice time.
Right. Let's go practice this.
Yeah. Together.
And there's a lot of challenge.
Yep.
That takes place in there.
As well.
And so we strive for excellence, not exemptions. Oh, I couldn't do it today. Oh, I had a rough day today. I couldn't do it. No.
I'm
that's
tired.
An excuse.
Yeah.
You're looking for an exemption. You should be looking for ways. Okay, I'm tired, but. It's just like working out. I'm so exhausted, but I know once I start those few steps, once I get 7 minutes into my routine, I've got that adrenaline pumping, and now I don't want to stop.
Yeah. So here's a tough, challenging question for those who are listening. And I've said this before to people, and it makes them uncomfortable. But if you say that you are a follower of Christ, a Christian, then you need to be first being discipled and you need to be discipling somebody else. Because if you're not doing those two things, you're not living as Christ lived.
What was his commandment? Go and now go into the world.
Right. Teach them everything I taught you.
And make disciples.
Make disciples.
Of everybody.
Right. And those are action things.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't just. And I'm not talking about sending, you know, paying to send a missionary over to another country, which is great to do.
And that's part of the 100% giving.
Yeah.
So if you're going to support missions, and that's where you're giving.
But missions can start right where you're at.
Exactly.
Your neighborhood. Again, how well do you know your neighbors, even just those beside you? Do you know their names? Do you know what if they're working or not working? What do you know about them? How have you been intentionally finding ways to build relationship and reaching out to those, even just to the left and right of your house?
And you're not just known as the guy that drives into his garage. You don't see him until he drives out of his garage.
Right, right. Right. And, you know, part of this is how can we do things? And I'll put in the show notes too, but Cesar Kalinowski, who has his website is Everyday Disciple, has some great tools for people to start to learn to do this. And he says, you know, even doing stuff like having a family meal. Most families don't even have a meal together, but you know, having that one day a week, that one meal that you all sit down at the table and eat. And when we can start to have people over, inviting people over to your to have a meal with you, and just because you're not adding to your load anymore, you're just adding a couple people to your table, and having a conversation with them and get to know them, you know, bringing the kids in, especially this time of year. How can we bless? Who do we know in the neighborhood that can use a blessing? And maybe you go and shovel their walk, or you know, in the summertime, mow their lawn, or do something that's a blessing to them. It doesn't have to be always be money. It can be ways to find unique ways to bless them with time.
You just chat with them. They're coming out of their car. You don't run into your house. You
yeah.
You stop and you talk.
Yeah.
And ask them some questions.
Yeah. How can you be the party people of the neighborhood? You know, because the Jewish people were known to celebrate. They had festivals all the time.
They celebrated everything.
Yeah. So how can we start to be those people that start to, you know, become known in our neighborhoods for that, and people are coming out? And I'm not talking, you know, go getting plastered and staggering around your front yard, you know, because we think about it, we hear about being party people. I'm talking about being people of peace, people that people want to hang out with, because you have something that they want in you. And that's the hope of glory.
Whether it's the grit to persevere.
Yeah.
Whether it's the peace that just follows wherever you go.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when we've got turmoil happening in our lives, we're still radiating peace. We experience that often. Oh, you just seem so peaceful. And you're like, oh, yeah, only knew.
Oh, right, because right. We carry the peace of Jesus. We carry Jesus with us wherever we go, into situations that require peace. So sometimes we go, and we're not peacekeepers, we're peacemakers.
Yeah.
We find ways to bring peace, resolution into rocky relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we find ways to help people have conversations, to have healthy conflict, because conflict is a good thing. How to have healthy conflict
in a relationship,
and how to resolve it in a healthy way. And all these things. This is what it's about, because it's in that that there's life restoration that we bring through that. So, yeah. So that's our conversation around as we move into 2021, was what that looks like.
Well, these are conversations we're having in our house. These are things that we're asking God about, because we want to start a home church, and I don't even care if it's a network. I just want to start a home church. And I want it to multiply.
And we will
and we will share with you our journey in that. Our question/challenge to you is, how are you thinking about 2021 in terms of faith? What things do you have in mind that you're excited about, that's going to increase your faith, that's going to deepen your relationship with Christ come 2021? Where when the doors of the church reopen and we can gather fully, are you going to run there, or are you committed to the few that you're going? And there's nothing wrong with going there. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, are you going to drop everything that you've been doing in order to be part of the big church? Or are you going to stay where you're at and use going to the big church as an opportunity to celebrate what God has done?
Right, just like they did, again, with the Acts Church. They did life together, they ate together, they broke bread together, but then they also went together to the synagogue.
Right.
And that's what we do. You know, that's what our opportunity when we can gather large is, that's our place to go as a spiritual family to worship together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the place where we receive discipleship.
No.
Or expect to.
Right.
It's not the place where we expect to receive the quote-unquote, the meat, the food, the spiritual food.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in smaller community.
That's right.
And that's the model that we want to start working towards. So yeah, so that's a great question.
So send us your questions.
Yeah.
And like I said at the beginning, we haven't done this. This is something that we want to do. And love it. Absolutely love it if we can do this together.
Yeah.
Encourage you where you're at, and you encourage us where we're at.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate your moving into the new year with us, and we look forward to what God's going to do. See you in 2021.